The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
All right, Team Tiger Awesome. No, that's not the name of a new WWE tag team. Not the name of a kung fu flick from the 70s. Not even a tag team from the BTWF that Egypt so famously put an end to back in 1988 in the Westwood Collegiate High School gym. No, I'm talking about Team Tiger Awesome, the three funny comedic geniuses who created and wrote the new Comedy Central web series Nothing to Report, starring Chris Jericho. This week, I got a laugh riot with Clint Gage, Michael Truly, and Nick Mundy, my partner in crime, Moses Packard was his name, and laughter is his game. Mundy and Jericho killing it in Nothing to Report. All six episodes just came out on Monday. You can find all of those on YouTube or on ComedyCentral.com. And now today, here on Talk is Jericho, you get all the hilarious stories from the set and the shoot. We shot the entire thing over the course of three nights in Los Angeles, guerrilla style, mostly in Clint's front yard. That's right, it was crazy. And you'll definitely be laughing today as this interview gets moving. It is hilarious, and thank you for joining me today, and thank you for hitting that download button. We got another rip-roaring, rootin'-tootin', rip-snortin' episode, right? You know I'm ready for it. I'm ready because I got the most comfortable undies on the planet on right now. They're the skivvies that make you shiver. They never ride up on you. The skivs that make you give lots of good vibes that will get you some hibbity-dibbity, hibbity-dibbity. Oh, that's you who said that. Hibbity-dibbity, hibbity-dibbity. Baby, how you been? That's right, me undies, yeah. Those of you that know these are the most comfortable garments, undergarments you could ever wear. You know what I'm talking about. If you haven't jumped on this yet, come on, man. Get out of the 60s. Get into the now. It's 2015. You need to go to MeUndies.com and check out these designs. You will look as great as you feel. They've even got some sexy beast undies for the ladies. Check them out, MeUndies.com. And MeUndies makes more than just super comfy underwear. They also make the softest, most comfortable socks, hoodies, t-shirts, all that jazz. See all the cookie styles at MeUndies.com. Your skin is going to love you. Ooh, I'd love to love you, baby. MeUndies products really are that soft. You aren't going to want to take these off. Do something nice for yourself. Do something nice for your lovely lady. Do something nice for your unbelievable boyfriend. Do something for your skin that's unbelievable. Get some MeUndies right now. And remember, if you go to MeUndies.com/Jericho, because you're a sexy beast listener of this show, you'll get 20% off your first order and free shipping. Come on, man. You got nothing to lose, everything to gain, and you can save even more cashola when you buy a whole pack of MeUndies. This will be some of the best money you ever spent in your life. That's right. MeUndies.com/Jericho. And guess what? They come with a money back guarantee. I want you to go to MeUndies.com/Jericho now and get 20% off your order and free shipping. You got to do it. You got to feel good. You got to look good. You got to take part. MeUndies, man. Go there now.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. The pot of thunder and rock and roll is here. The remedy for boredom has arrived. Let's go for a ride with today's guests, Team Tiger Awesome. That's the three dudes, the comedic geniuses who created, directed, and co-starred in my new web series, Nothing to Report. They're Clint Gage, Michael Truly, and Nick Mundy, my partner in crime, Moses Packard, Chance Blackstreet, Nothing to Report, sweeping, tearing up the nation. Hollywood Reporter loves it. Comedy Central loves it. Everybody who's been watching it has been having a good laugh, which is what it's all about. Nick, speaking of laughs, also calls himself The Rock's BFF. Not sure with what old Rocky thinks of that, but you're going to hear the story about why Nick feels that way from Nick's point of view. You can also see it on YouTube. Nick is the confused, nervous wrestling fan that interviews The Rock on ScreenJunkies.com. Very, very funny stuff. Hilarious videos. And speaking of hilarious, Nothing to Report is available now. Came out on Monday on ComedyCentral.com. You can go check it out there or check it out on YouTube. You're not going to want to miss this. Comedy Central's funniest web series in years is what Beyond Magazine said, which I'm very excited about. And today you're going to hear some more cool behind-the-scenes stories from our three nights of shooting. And I want to say thanks to the great sponsors of Talk is Jericho. Thanks to all of you for listening. There's hundreds of thousands of podcasts to schwoz from. I appreciate you schwozing mine. I appreciate you following me. I appreciate you checking out Nothing to Report. Lots of cool stories coming up. Comedy Central is the place to be. You know, I mentioned it in this show. That when I did But I'm Chris Jericho, a lot of people really enjoyed it. Won literally 14 awards. I won the best actor at a web series festival in France. It wasn't the Cannes Film Festival, but it was pretty close to there. But anyways, I did win a Best Actor award. I've got the award sitting here on my desk looking at it. It's very kind of strange. The architecture looks like something you'd see like in Beirut or something. But I'm very, very excited about But I'm Chris Jericho. But it did good, you know. And if you haven't seen it, you should go check it out. It's very funny. But when you do something under the auspices of Comedy Central, under the banner of Comedy Central, under the umbrella of Comedy Central, it automatically takes things to an entire different place. Comedy Central is the brand name for funny things nowadays. I mean, and just being on the Comedy Central family, you know, you go to ComedyCentral.com and I'm looking right now. It's Chris Jericho stars in Nothing to Report, the entire new online series. Right underneath, Kevin Hart presents the Plastic Cup Boys, stand-up comedians. Right above, talking about Inside Amy Schumer, the third season is coming. So it's pretty cool, man. It's like, you know, to be in that, you know, group, in that rarefied air is good enough as it is, but also to know that our show lives up and stands up with all of these other fine, fine, funny people. It's good to know that we created something that's at the top level and it's being treated as such. So yeah, it's great to be part of the Comedy Central family. As a matter of fact, I was just watching Comedy Central last night, the Justin Bieber roast. I don't know if you saw this, but man, it was really, really funny. And the thing is, I didn't really know much about what a roast is until a couple of years ago. I got asked to do, there was a Zach Wilde roast that Revolver Magazine and Golden Gods, which I hosted for 4 years, put on this roast. So I agreed to do it. Sure, I'll go and tell some jokes about Zach Wilde. What I didn't know is that when you're on the dais, you get roasted as well. Pretty badly. So I actually worked with a friend of mine, Don Jameson, from That Metal Show, got him to write some jokes for me. And the first question he asked was, you know, who else is on the dais? And I said, why? He said, because you'll be roasting them too. And I was like, really? But I'm on the dais. He's like, well, yeah, duh. Don't you understand? That's how it goes. Like when you agree to do a roast, you're going to get destroyed. So I knew that, oh my gosh, I'm going to get killed. And it was a blast, man. I mean, Sharon Osbourne was the roast master and, you know, Jim Norton was there, Jim Florentine, Brian Posehn, Corey Taylor, Jericho, Duff McKagan, Scott Ian. You know, it's like a Talk is Jericho alumni list up here. But I just didn't realize how brutal it was going to be. And there was no holds barred. I mean, just I couldn't even repeat some of the jokes that were told. But I kind of got right away that you better jump right in with both feet because everybody's out to kill you. And that's exactly what happened on the Bieber roast. And some of the people were very famous, obviously. You know, Snoop Dogg and Shaquille O'Neal and Kevin Hart. It was never, I'm not going to say I wasn't a big fan of his, but I didn't really know his work. I just knew he was the up-and-coming big comedic star right now. But I didn't really know much about him. And man, he was really, really funny as the roast master and really embraced the jokes. You know, he was short and he's black. And, you know, I remember the one guy came up there and said, I've never been to a roast that was hosted by Shaq's dick. You know, talking about Kevin. Or the other guy said that Kevin Hart is Peter Dinklage's shadow on Game of Thrones, you know, just like really low stuff. And then they were talking about how Pete Davidson, who was great, he's from Saturday Night Live, I guess his dad passed away in 9/11, and he made jokes about it. And it was like, oh man, how can you guys make jokes about somebody dying in 9/11? But that's the kind of place it was. And there was like abortion jokes, and then Martha Stewart was up there, and there was tons of Ellen jokes, and I can't even repeat them on this podcast because they're so vulgar and so over the top. Like, you just can't say that stuff on TV. One other funny one is they said Shaq's penis is so big that he uses it as a selfie stick. I mean, that's pretty funny, right? I mean, I think Kevin Hart said that or whatever. And a couple of the guys didn't do so good. Like, Snoop was okay. And there's a guy called Hannibal Buress or something. He was okay. But there was a girl up there, Natasha Leggero. She was hilarious. Pete Davidson was great. Kevin Hart was great. Shaq was good. So if you want to check it out, it's on demand at Comedy Central. And it's really cool. And the best was Justin Bieber had some great retorts. He said, you know, what do you get when you give a teenager $200 million? He said, 10 has-beens on a dais telling you that you look like a lesbian for 2 hours. Because I kept saying he looked like Ellen and all this stuff. So like I said, but it was cool that Bieber did it. I think it was a very smart move for his career. Because when you embrace all this crazy stuff that makes you kind of fall out of public grace, and you have a sense of humor about it, then people usually respond in a positive way. And then at the end, he did something really cool where he said, listen, this was all thrown upon me at the age of 12. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And I did a lot of stupid stuff, and I apologize, and I'm not going to let you guys down. I'm a kind-hearted guy. I love God, and God is graceful and everything like this. And it was just really cool to see that. Because he's right. Like, if you think about Justin Bieber, he's like a child actor. I mean, he grew up in the public eye. And how many child actors kind of fall, burn in flames, and die young and end up on drugs? I mean, look at, like, you know, look at a Lindsay Lohan, or you look at, I remember Todd Bridges from Different Strokes, and, like, I think whatever Kimberly's name was from Different Strokes as well. Dana Plato was her name. Even Amanda Bynes. I mean, she was super popular when she first came out. But I mean, it's hard to kind of start off young and get all of this money thrown at you and all of this, you know, prestige thrown at you and all of this fame and yes men. And I mean, look at us when we were 12 years old, man. I mean, you didn't know anything when you were that age. I mean, gosh, I didn't know anything when I was, you know, 22 years old. 28 years old, and here these guys are, especially a guy like Bieber, like the biggest star in the world. Of course he's going to go a little nuts. It's the same reason why Zayn Malik left One Direction. You know, I want to be a normal 22-year-old. Well, you'll never be a normal 22-year-old, because for the rest of time, you'll always be that guy from One Direction. He'll always be Justin Bieber. But the real secret is, how do you transcend from child star to legitimate, you know, huge name? And Justin Timberlake has done that. Michael Jackson did that, although Michael will maybe not be the best example because he was kind of nuts. But look at all the lineage of child stars over the years and how many of them are still acting to this day. I mean, you know, there's not a lot. Like Ron Howard, definitely huge, huge star when he got out of the acting business, went behind the scenes in directing. But there's a lot of guys that you see that as. I mean, even a lot of the guys at Saved by the Bell, or, you know, I mean, the list goes on and on. Facts of Life, Molly Ringwald, she did okay, I think. I'm not sure exactly what she does now. But anyways, the point is, the Justin Bieber roast, super funny, very hilarious, very worth watching. And Justin Bieber, he earned a couple of respect points from me. Plus, he's Canadian. You know, I love him because he's Canadian, so he'll always be all right with me. Justin is just all right with me. Justin is just all right. Oh, yeah. Justin is just all right with me. Justin is all sorted out. All right, Justin Bieber, he's all right with me. And if you, Justin is just all right. If you want to check out something really funny, go to Comedy Central, watch the Justin Bieber roast, and also go to ComedyCentral.com and check out Nothing to Report, starring Chris Jericho and Nick Mundy, written, produced, directed by Team Tiger Awesome. They're coming up next, and they're also going to be my next DDP Yoga recruits. Nick Mundy, Moses Packard, he does need to lose a few pounds on the show. Moses is fat. is the name of one of the episodes. So if that don't tell you all you need to know, and Moses could use some DDP yoga. And I'm not going to quit until I've accomplished my goal of getting Moses into yoga. Maybe a great season two episode. DDP yoga, it's still why I'm in the ring in the WWE. Still why I'm on stage with Fozzy. It's why I'm in the best shape of my life right now. It's a great fitness program for anyone and everyone. Age doesn't matter. Fitness level doesn't matter. Athletic ability, it doesn't matter. DDP is beginner workouts that let you move up to more challenging level workouts. The program grows with you. It starts with you. It's your workout. You do it any way you want. And hey, because you listen to my show, the Sexy Beast listeners of TIJ, DDP's hooking you up with a great deal on the Max Pack. It's got 15 workouts. You get a nutrition guide, a poster to help you remember the 12 core positions of DDP yoga, and you'll get the workouts on MP3 so you can exercise anywhere, anytime you want to. You go to ddpyoga.com/Jared. Take advantage of a special offer only available to you guys. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. But this offer, it's not going to last forever. People, you go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Take advantage of it now. Once again, ddpyoga.com/Jericho. You can also find this great deal by going to podcastone.com. You click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the pagey wagey. Then you hit the Talk is Jericho button. I'm telling you, I want you to want me, and I want you to get in the best shape of your life, and DDP yoga can help you get there. Go check it out now. It's going to work and you are going to love it. I guarantee it.
The 10th Annual Podcast Awards is sponsored by PodcastOne.com. Ready and leading the way with over 200 podcasts for you to choose from and an easy-to-use app so you can listen when you want, where you want.
We got everything we need right here.
The 10th Annual Podcast Awards honors the best of the best in the on-demand audio industry. Hosted by world champion wrestler and podcast superstar Chris Jericho and his accredited sexologist co-host, Sex with Emily's Emily Morse. Find out if your favorite show won by downloading it at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
Okay, you want to hear real problems that I really have in what? My real life?
What are those?
My son calls me Officer Packard. Not daddy, not father, not even Moses. Officer Packard.
Oh, you mean your son who loves you and respects the fact you're a cop?
He says if I hurry up and get shot in the line of duty, he can finally stop lying to his teachers about take your parents to school day.
Okay. How about this? I lost my virginity at 12 to a 6'4" field hockey chick. Big, beefy, domineering. I had no experience, so I just did what I was told, and I assumed that's how sex worked.
So you still?
Yeah, I don't do a thing unless the girl tells me to.
I would love that. I would love that. You know why?
Why?
My shrink tells me I'm a sexual illiterate.
I like that when you pitched this, and I just told the guys it was like, hey, so yeah, I'll just have you guys on. I mean, the worst show got this many, so
well, yeah, that's,
we might not go worse.
That's what I was saying. We're talking about our Comedy Central web series, Nothing to Report, which is hilarious. It's out now, actually, and people are howling across the nation. We got Clint Gage here.
Hey, how's it going?
And we got Michael Truly here.
Hey.
And we, of course, got Nick Mundy at the end here.
Hello.
My friend who plays Moses Hightower.
No, Packard.
Moses Packard.
Chance Blackstreet and Moses Packard.
The last name's – why did I say Hightower?
How recently did you watch Police Academy?
It's a Freudian slip for Police Academy.
We've had
I always wanted to be in a movie with Bubba Smith, damn it.
Yeah.
You and me both.
Yeah.
The entire cast. But we just want to celebrate all of Police Academy. And that's what we'll do for the next hour, 2 hours, 3 hours.
What was your favorite Police Academy?
Don't say Mission to Moscow.
No. Look, the first one, but I'm going to go with three.
This
three
is be one
three
of
had the Wave Runners. Three had the Wave Runners.
You're going to say, like, I tell people it's the first one, but really it's Mission to Moscow.
No. It's three. It's Police Academy 3, Wave Runners. The one with Wave Runners.
Is I that think. Citizens on Patrol?
No, that was four.
Okay.
Four is Citizens?
Three is New Recruits.
Okay.
It's when.
Is that with Bobcat Goldthwait?
Yes.
All right.
Well, as the good guy.
Oh, he started as the bad guy.
Yeah, in two.
Okay,
we'll celebrate the whole canon.
Two is great.
My favorite, I think it was two, or when Steve Guttenberg name
Mahoney.
Mahoney's chasing the guys down the beach because they drive too close to his ATV, and he's driving down the beach and he's chasing them, and then he stops, and there's just a beach. It's a line of sand that goes from here to freaking Kansas. But the guy's driving straight. There's a cut, and suddenly he drives over a dock into the bay.
Yep.
There's no dock at the end of a beach. It's a strip of beach.
That was Police Academy 2.
Okay, there you go.
And you can find more tidbits at policeacademytrivia.tumblr.com.
Okay, there you go. Which I need to open up right now. You know, it's funny. When I invited you to come down here, I said, Mundy, you better be funny. You've started off really slow.
I know. It's not.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you should know this. Like, we were together once, which is enough to know. As soon as you put the pressure on Nick, he's funny. A cheap card taker. He really is.
You know, it's funny because we did this show, and once again, nothing to report. And it was you guys came up with this. Your actual official name is Team Tiger Awesome. When I actually promote this show, it's going to be the cast of Nothing to Report because no one knows what the hell Team Tiger Awesome is yet.
Thank you for reminding
us. But they will.
A couple years in the aughts that it was pretty. No,
in the aughts. Nice
I was just
word.
Expecting three nobodies.
Yeah.
You heard that might work even better. Just promoted as three nobodies. Los tres nobodios.
The three people standing behind me in line at the grocery store, I brought them in to talk about my new show on Comedy Central.
They gave me a script. But you guys have been working together for a long time. Did you grow up together?
Clint and I grew up down the block from each other in Spring, Texas, which is just outside of Houston.
Okay.
And like when we were 10 years old, like...
It goes way back.
Yeah, and then didn't like me at first.
I was moderately afraid of you and all your buddies because you guys would play... Our house is backed up to this huge park, and they would still play football on the street. Mm-hmm. Like on the pavement. And I was like, there are empty soccer fields. Like, you can see them from where you're tackling
it's
each other.
Spring,
like,
Texas.
Into
all
mailboxes.
There is a giant soccer
it's
field.
It's just a giant
with
soccer
a
field.
City Hall in the
exactly.
middle.
So the one time I actually did go play football with them, they broke a guy's collarbone, like, out of the skin.
Ooh, right.
And I'm not, like, screaming. It's like, I was an athlete growing up, but I was like, you guys are dumb. I'm out. and that was, we were probably 13, 14 years old, something like that.
Like 10 or 11.
Yeah, we were young. Grade. But so I avoided Nick until college. From that point on.
Did you still see him around, though? Like, oh, there's Mundy.
Yeah, there was the odd moment where you would drive. What did you pulled up in your car one time, jumped out, punched one of my friends in the stomach, and then ran into your house.
Because I never heard that.
Yeah.
Nick, you're a big guy.
Yeah.
You know, you're a portly guy, yeah. Big man.
Husky.
Husky.
So were you a husky bully?
No, I was never a bully, but I played football and then rugby in college, but I just like to do weird stuff. So
that's what all the bullies say.
Typical bully.
Doing weird stuff.
I just yelled nerd and then just hit him for being different.
And then I threw him over a fence. What's wrong with that?
But there's always the husky kids that would use that for the power of evil, and then there'd be the husky kids that were picked on.
No, I was the comedy weirdo kid who was just like making jokes that I thought were the funniest things in the world that no one got. Like, I was just watching like Kids in the Hall. And that's the one thing we had in common.
Right.
We watched Kids in the Hall and The State and just weird sketch comedy that no one was into. They're into it now. But then I would do like, oh, okay, well, I might as well jump out of this moving car. Because the two things I was into when I was in high school were wrestling and sketch comedy. Those were the only.
And this is talking about pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling,
pro wrestling and sketch comedy.
Yeah.
Which go pretty much hand in hand.
Which is pretty much how my life has been heading down.
You've never deviated.
No, I know. It's just like I've made a little money doing it.
Yeah. You were almost going to say I've made a living.
No.
And then rephrased it. I've made a little money.
I'm not dead.
I have not died yet.
It's so funny to me though, like growing up in Winnipeg, I was watching Kids in the Hall every Sunday night doing my homework for college. And you guys were watching it in Southern Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I guess.
And that's how me and Clint, I was working at CompUSA wearing a Mundy Say Relax t-shirt.
Mundy
Say Relax.
What does that mean?
It was like the Frankie Say Relax t-shirt. I don't know how I got it. I think I found it. And I was like,
I probably found it. You clearly had that shirt.
Yeah. I don't know. No, I didn't.
You did crafts. There was literally
no way.
You've
seen me do crafts. You know I can't like make things legible.
Yeah. I love how you said, I think I found it. Like some bum on the street named Mundy in Spring, Texas. There were 7 Mundys in the city. So you found this shirt. It's like Mundy Say Relax.
And I was like carrying monitors or something, and then were a printer rep or something.
Yeah, well, our jobs passed
through the
crossed paths in college again, and I was trying to do this weird little short film in the summer between years, and Nick literally hijacked it. It was like, oh, I got a computer, I can edit, let's go. And then that was, and then
I could put out DVD.
And that was what? It was like 15 years ago now?
2001.
And you're too scared to say no to him because he was a bully.
Well, no, I legitimately needed his computer. So I've been playing a long game.
Yeah, it's the big picture, kid.
Yeah, and I'm not real sure what I'm doing either.
He's been betraying his values for 15 years now.
And when did Truly come into position? And every time I hear that, I always think, Truly, Lionel Richie. That's what I always think.
Oh, you don't go Truly, Madly, Deeply?
Who's that?
Who was it?
I can, like, whenever somebody meets me, I can tell everything I need to know about them by which song they reference.
Oh, okay.
Because if they go Truly Scrumptious, I'm like, you're old or you're, like, really into Disney stuff.
Okay.
Not worried about being friends with you.
What was Truly Simply Deeply? Which was that?
Truly Madly Deeply. Was that Savage Garden?
Wow. Oh, Stacey's writing it down. She's a big Savage Garden fan. Okay. And then what about if I say the Lionel Richie one?
I've never heard that one. That's the first time. Yeah.
That's the only thing I think of is Truly.
I'm going to go find it now.
You should. I think it was a big hit from, at least in Canada it was. Lionel Richie, popular in Canada. Let me tell you guys.
Big in Canada.
Wow, huge. Savage Garden, not so much. How'd you come into the picture of these two guys?
I met Clint in college. Clint was doing a student film. Mm-hmm. And I was essentially the pretentious actor that he cast to play him with his now wife, actually.
Yeah. Look, I was working through some shit.
Clint was like, look, Nick, I want to do one project without you because the other ones we've, like, each project we did, we'd sell, like, 3,000 DVDs and that would film the next summer's project. But he was like, hey, I want to step away and do my own thing. I want to do this silly bullshit with this weird pirate guy looking guy.
I had to do a solo out. I was a senior in college. You know, I had to get my serious shit out, and I did it, and I haven't.
He did Gene's solo album.
I'm envisioning a Steve Martin, John Candy playing Sean Oil. Like, when we put our heads together, we make a pretty good team. You're like, no, we haven't really done anything. We're going to go our own ways. Right. And then Mundy pays for lunch and goes, yeah, sure, see you later.
Yeah, okay.
Right. No, but then.
That's the last 15 years. Yeah, you're all caught up.
There you go, done.
Truly was in Clint's horseshit
Truly.
Movie.
I'm going to start my reel off with that.
Yeah. Called Focus, about a dude going blind who wanted to be a painter or some crap. All I know is Clint was like, hey.
He was trying to paint something beautiful before he could no longer see.
Right. Oh, this was your student?
This was Clint's student.
My student.
And you're playing
film.
Clint. Okay. Yeah, that is very student-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very
so no, Clint was like, hey, can you
I'm
take
not
a look at
of it?
Or I just took a look at it because I was like.
I think you just took a look.
Yeah. This is another thing that you stole from me.
Yeah, I took it. And then I was like, well, I'm going to fix this. Right. So I cut a Rick Springfield music video to it, Your Love Is All Right Tonight. It's so much better.
It was legitimately better.
No, it was.
Yeah. Wow.
No, look, I can admit that now.
And I was like, hey, you know this thing you worked really hard? I fixed it, dummy.
Have you guys seen Rick Springfield lately?
No, I saw him on Californication.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like a Ninja Turtles character. Like,
dude, he looks great.
Oh, then I saw a different time.
I saw a different Rick Springfield.
Oh, this was Dick Springfield.
No, he looked like a Splinter.
In what way?
He had like a Fu Manchu.
Oh, no, I'm talking about just in general. Like, okay. He has, like, I think he's like 65 years old. He has the world's best plastic surgery job. He looks like he's 30.
Okay.
There's actually a documentary called like Loving Rick Springfield or something that I watched. I was looking through trying to find something, and it's a fan film about Rick. He has his own cruise every year, the Rick Springfield Rock and Roll Cruise.
Nice.
And all these chicks save up all year to go, and their husbands are all angry and mad. And there's this one beefy,
he's made a cuckold of them all.
Yeah, he's a cuckold. Springfield wants to cuckold them. And that's a word I just learned about a minute ago. If you don't know it, please Google it. I'm not going to explain it here. So he's got this big beefy guy that shows one of the husbands of one of the wives who all she cares about is Rick Springfield. And the guy's like, oh, you know, I'm gonna give him a piece of my mind. You know, I might even bat him around a bit. He's telling his buddy. And then he meets Springfield, and Springfield's so charming and so he's got the magic. I was like, Springfield's a great guy.
What a great guy.
And then Rick took his wife in the back and gave her a little hibbity-dibbity. You know what I'm saying?
So the documentary is called Rick Springfield Bang My Wife. And I'm
And I'm okay with that.
And it was fun.
And it was good.
Look, we had a fun cruise. Does every celebrity have a cruise ship now?
Apparently.
You're getting one soon, right?
Well, I was thinking about it, but I think we should do a Team Tiger.
We'll do nothing to report fan cruise.
Yeah, three nobodies on a cruise.
Right? More of a rowboat.
Yeah.
It's inflatable and it's on the LA River. It's a cruise.
We've been obsessed with the Simple Man Tour, which I think only happened like once. But
I think twice.
Okay.
Because we joked about it the next year. I was like, maybe I'll go this year.
It was like Molly Hatchet.
Whatever's left
special.
Of Lynyrd Skynyrd,
well,
I think,
would
was
have
there.
To be
yeah.
in it. Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
It was
like
the
Southern Rock. 38
Special,
Molly Hatchet.
Yeah.
you know.
It was the kind of thing that if they'd have been in a festival, like, you know, down at, like, the Pomona Fairplex or something, right. I'd have been like, let's go. But, like, being in open water with that group for, like, 4 days, I'm like, that sounds like the worst idea. It's like, I'd love to spend an afternoon, like, at a distance. Right. But, you know.
Speaking of worst ideas, how did you guys come up with the concept of Nothing to Report?
That was laziness. honestly, we did sketches for like Comedy Central, Funny or Die, College Humor, a bunch of other places that don't exist anymore because the internet keeps changing. So we did that, and then we focused. We got hired to do a rewrite, and then we got hired to do another rewrite for Baze and Thomas, the guys who did How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, well, let's focus on writing. And then we wrote a pilot, and then, you know, every once in a while they were like, hey, Comedy Central's looking for a digital idea. And we were like, okay, that'd be cool. What's the easiest idea we could do? Two cops sitting in a car.
Like, discussing their feelings.
Yeah. And then from there, and we pitched it. Like, the idea evolved from that. But that was, I think, the curtain law of the idea. We were just hanging out. We were like, no, I think it would be funny to do, like, what happens in Lethal Weapon when they're not, you know, fighting South Africans or...
Sure. Yeah, because they literally walk out of, like, the police station into, like, a gunfight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. every Lethal Weapon.
Right, exactly, yeah. Right. You never actually saw them driving between fights.
What happened in Tango and Cash on the way to jail? You know?
Right.
So, I mean, we just thought that would be, like, a lot of fun, and then we pitched the idea December 2013, and then...
Because you already had a relationship with Comedy Central.
Yeah, we've worked with them before. We did this thing called the Axe Dirt Cathlon.
Which we don't really need to talk about.
Okay, but
if I can just chime in for 1 second and say, we don't need to talk about that.
I get kind of the sense that you're kind of the ipso facto, like you're the, not the leader, but you're the straight man.
I'm the network censor.
You're the guy who keeps his eye on the ball and says, guys, come on. You're like Tony Randall.
I've got a...
and we've got two Jack Klugmans.
No, I'll take it. That's fine.
We're like the Bulls without... Like, I'm the Horace Grant. You're Scottie Pippen. We don't have a Jordan of the group.
No.
But, like, there's a... It's like the Bulls.
Yeah, that's you don't want a Jordan.
Yeah.
That's too much pressure.
Jordan,
you're the Jordan.
Well, I know. I don't know anything about baseball.
So. It's basketball. Yeah.
You're obviously not a golfer. So, I mean, because the original plan was Mundy was always going to be
Moses Packard.
I tried to have him recast. But.
Yeah, no, truly was like,
but weren't you going to be Chance Blackstreet?
Yeah. Originally, we were looking at that, and then once it sort of landed with Comedy Central, it was like, we can get somebody bigger in here, somebody who's actually going to mean something.
How did you feel about that? We get somebody bigger. That hurt your feelings a little?
I'm totally okay with it.
We've always been...
It got made.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. We're very pragmatic. We're like, hey, what do you want to replace me? Find someone better? Like, you know...
As long as it's for the best of the show, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Now I get to call myself poor man's Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho's stand-in, I think, is better. Yeah,
yeah.
Chris Jericho's on his
stand-in. Well, I always called you the rich man's Chris Klein.
Nice.
So, which is the best compliment.
Which really depends on what Chris Klein is doing right now.
Is Chris Klein the guy from American Pie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he's not doing anything as far as I know,
right?
So you're definitely the rich man.
He had a blast doing that Street Fighter movie, The Legend of Chun-Li. Did you ever see that?
I did not.
He was nuts.
Oh, okay. He probably was like high or something.
In all the best ways. No, it was just like, look, nobody's in charge here, so I'm going to have fun.
Kind of like what you did.
Yeah. More or less what you did.
No, I mean, so we had a meeting with them before we started writing, and they were like, what do you guys think about Chris Jericho? And we were like, look, I grew up a big pro wrestling fan. Clint did too, truly.
Got no idea who he was.
Yeah.
Had to Google me.
Honestly didn't.
I wasn't impressed. I'd be much better for this part, but if you must.
Whatever.
But so
truly already had the Fu Manchu at that point.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, whatever,
he'd already committed to it.
He had 0% body fat he built up. This is
I ate all of my feelings.
This is what happened. He had the tattoos ready to go.
He washed them off.
No, and there were like, what about Chris Jericho? And we were like, great. He's done improv. He's acted. He's done, you know, a bunch of stuff. We were on board right away. Plus, you kind of look like what a cop would try to look like to be cool.
Well, especially if you're going for that Lethal Weapon. Yeah. You know what I mean? You got kind of like the Mel Gibson.
That was the most backhanded way I've ever heard anybody say you look like a badass. It was like somehow you were trying to be mean.
And compliment wrapped in an insult.
You look like an undercover cop trying to be cool.
It's like when someone comes up to me in the airport and goes, listen, I don't know who the hell you are, but my kid loves you. Can you sign this? It's like, that is an insult disguised as asking me to do you a favor. Not exactly the best way to approach someone.
Wouldn't you rather have that than like – the other guy, the guy like me, hey, dude, you're like the coolest guy. Can I?
That one's a little bit scary, too. You see that, and sometimes you just want to run. Yeah. Literally, it's like Beatles, Hard Day's Night, if it's just one guy behind you chasing you.
Yeah, well, when we had lunch.
Instead of hordes of women.
Yeah, exactly.
Just one guy.
Yeah,
one guy. One scary guy that looks like me.
One guy in an Astros hat and a beard.
One guy in an Astros hat.
Well, when we first met, you were like, oh, damn it, there's a fan at the table we're sitting next to. Can we move? No, and then your manager was like, no, that's your
You know, but I knew. I mean, that's cool. I mean, it's always like this is the thing. When you have the crazy fan, okay. But when you have the actual true fan,
yeah.
I mean, that's a great moment. Like, you know, when you can actually talk. Remember that time in 2001? It's like, I didn't even remember that. That's how you know what a true fan is. And actually, all fans are cool, but those are the ones you'll actually get a chance to sit down and talk with a little bit. And I was sat with you for hours on end in a car. but this is brings me. You were working or are working for Screen Junkies.
Yeah.
Which is
I do some stuff for Screen Junkies, which is it's a really popular show on the internet that focus on like movie
reviews.
Yeah,
or
and then what they did was I do a couple bits, but the main bit that I'm known for over there is I've interviewed Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson.
Now you're a big Rock fan.
I'm a big Rock movie fan.
Okay.
Technically, like, wrestling-wise, because I grew up pro wrestling, I was always, like, a Mick Foley, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes guy. And then him doing movies, I just liked what he did in the movies. And then it became just this bit that kept
okay, so let's talk about this. I just watched this the other day, and it's become, like, this viral video.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say viral. Viral would say that you've done 40 million. I think it's probably done about 40 views.
It's 400,000.
Okay, 400,000. That's not bad. Okay,
400,000.
This is 400,000.
Let's not belittle money too much before he starts crying.
Okay.
It's a mid to low end Talk is Jericho numbers kind of situation.
So you go to the Pain and Gain Junket.
2 years ago, yeah.
And Screen Junkies pays for you to fly out there.
Paramount did. Well, they
idiots.
Thought I was a real press person. They Screen Junkies was like, hey, this.
Okay,
guy's a professional is like a once you interview The Rock, not knowing that I've never done anything like this before, and I'm not a journalist.
So they trusted Screen Junkies recommendation that you're the guy.
Yeah.
So Paramount pays for you to go to Miami
on a 5-star hotel,
first class flight or coach?
No, coach hotel.
Middle seat.
No, I got an aisle because
okay,
got
that's
first.
Good. That's
but
good.
Yeah, no, 5-star hotel in Miami, first time in Miami. I was there for like 3 days.
And so what are you supposed to do?
See the movie and then wait to interview the cast of Pain and Gain.
I've never been in a press junket. So and you sit in a room, sit in a room, and you just kind of
Then they rotate people in and out. You get 4 minutes, you get 8 minutes, and then so I was like, well, I'm gonna have fun with this and just become like act like the biggest dummy ever. So like for 3 days, I was in character as like
the Chris Farley guy. Okay. Remember when you were in the Beatles?
You were not in character. That was just you.
You weren't acting like the biggest dummy. Once again, the Tony Randall voice of reason.
Just real quick, let me just chime in. That's actually you.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you. But these people would come up to me.
Sobering
it's like,
facts.
What affiliate are you with? What press junket are you with? I was like, no, I'm just here to meet The Rock. And then they would slowly walk away. And then I was the only guy clapping and standing up and hollering during the Pain and Gain movie. Like,
so you're doing this in full character.
It's me times 10.
Right,
It's me times 10.
But
yeah.
You're going there to say, I'm going to make people think that I'm...
They thought I was the biggest weirdo for 3 days. Yeah, everyone
thought you were a Make-A-Wish kid.
Yeah. Well, that's when... So I interviewed everyone, but...
So who are you interviewing?
Like,
who's
Tony Shalhoub.
I've never seen it.
Tony Shalhoub, like Anthony Mackie, Ken Jeong.
Oh yeah,
Ken Jeong was the only guy who figured out I was doing a bit.
How did he figure it out?
He could just tell. Like it was just like the improv.
He's a comedian.
So what were you saying to these people when like Tony Shalhoub? What did you say?
Well, like I would always start off like, "What's it like being in the best movie of the last 10 years?" And they were like, Tony Shalhoub was like, "This one, okay, oh, it was cool."
Yeah, very exciting was what everyone was saying.
Yeah, it was
that's the Hollywood bullshit answer. Oh, it's very exciting.
And then I was like, cool. What was it like working with The Rock? Is The Rock cool? Like, are you friends with him? Can I be friends with him?
Mm-hmm.
And then just various questions where they soon realized I was only talking about The Rock.
Right.
And then they were like
– and they're thinking this
then you would hear like the producers and the people doing it. It's like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Like, what's he doing? What's his deal? Like, what?
Because you're in there with, like, the biggest press in the world.
Yeah, no, like, I was walking – my press partner was, like, this woman from Good Morning America.
Right.
And she was like, okay, we're going to go here. And I think one time she grabbed my hand because I think she was thinking like, oh, his special school is doing a yearbook thing on this. And he got lucky enough to go. And I was like, cool, neat. It was like, I got to meet Ken Jeong. I was like, yay, everything's great.
Yeah.
And so the Paramount people were like, oh, okay, we got to keep going. Because he's not – I was never like making them look bad. I just always – I was always looking bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't rude.
I was never rude. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like I don't go – like a lot of people try to do like the funny joke things. It's like, hey, I got a bucket of cheese. Let's say cheese and then throw the cheese at them, you know.
So you weren't taking the piss. You were just playing this character.
Somebody's done that before?
Probably, dude. Like,
let's get a bucket of cheese.
No, just the way that you presented that, it was like you've seen it.
Or you've thought about it.
I've thought about it, yeah. Oh, it's okay. It's an idea that was like, Clint's not going to like
it. There's your mental list. It's like below the lines.
It's
going to
be
acceptable.
The next web series, bucket of cheese.
Bucket of cheese. It's kind of like when you get the pee to people and they throw buckets of blood on people wearing fur coats. This is people who attack like gluten-free people by throwing buckets of cheese.
That's what we're here for. We want to talk to you about our next series.
I have three.
All buckets of cheese.
I have three checks. Of like, this is a good idea. It's truly you, and now Jericho. Right. It's like, would Chris think this is a good idea?
And the answer is always no.
Yeah.
By the way,
look. Yeah. If I'm in Georgia, he could go drive up and bail me out of jail.
Absolutely not. Okay. So continue on. So you finally get you go through all these guys, and then you get to the golden.
I got to The Rock, and
but it's not just The Rock.
It's also Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
And now this is only audio, but I guess the way I could you. I was positioned myself where my shoulder was almost like to Mark's face, mm-hmm. and I was directly positioned.
You're completely jobbing him out,
yes.
Ignoring him.
Yeah, I completely froze out Mark Wahlberg and didn't ask him one question.
Didn't even look him in the eye.
Nope. And then I just – all I did was tell this three-minute story. I had 4 minutes, and I told this three-minute story about how I tried to buy The Rock – Hooters. I tried to pay for his bill when I was 15 years old.
That's a real story?
The yes, that's okay. All true. All these interviews I've ever done where The Rock called my bullies and prom dates, they're all true. It's just, you know.
So Rock is listening to you tell this story.
And he's just like what? Okay, cool. And like he's a pro and he's dealt with, like you said, the crazy fan. And he
the
just thought
– cheese guy.
You got a bucket of cheese in your face.
Oh, man. I got a nobody here with a bucket of cheese.
But Wahlberg actually at one point did say – you mentioned it was like being the best movie ever. And Wahlberg did respond, oh, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah. He did that because I was like, ask Mark a question.
Yeah.
And then Dwayne was even like, we got to talk about Pain and Gain after my three-minute diatribe about this. And then afterwards he was like, well, let's take a picture, buddy. Because this is your big moment. And then we took a picture.
This is as good as it's ever going to get for you.
And then he took a picture, and then we left out, and then I started coming out of character because the adrenaline was pumping. It was like my Kaiser Soze moment of just like walking normal. Of just
losing the gaze.
But really it was just like me like tripping and then like coughing. And then I got to the press room where they were supposed to like the kind of the green room where you give the cards, and the head of Paramount came up to me. Head of Paramount Marketing, she was like, those were the worst interviews I've ever seen in my life.
Wow. She told you that face to face?
Yeah.
That's rare in Hollywood.
Yeah. No, she's great. She's a friend now. And I was like, yeah. And then I smiled and she was like, this was just a joke. And I was like, yeah. It was like, oh, why didn't you tell us? Like, we would have helped plan it. I was like, then it wouldn't have been as fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, well, those were great. Everyone was laughing their asses off. They think you're the biggest dummy in the world. But, yeah, so they got it. Screen Judges put it up, and it became a thing, and then we've done three of them since.
So when did you kind of let Rock in on the joke?
He saw the video, and his people – he saw it that day. It came out on my birthday, and we got a tweet later that day, and he's tweeted it like five times since, and he loved it. And then he's requested me to do his junket since then.
Every time?
Yeah.
So he's whenever like, there's a press Monday. Junket.
Let's get Monday to do something.
And Paramount is still spending money.
Paramount
on
did it. Well, they've only the last two have been in LA, but yeah, like Paramount did it again. Now Paramount loves me, and they were cool with it. And then Universal was cool with it this time. We had a crowd on this last one where we were Lady and a Tramping a Banana.
With Rob.
That's generous to call it Lady and the Tramping.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that he actually ate that much, so much as like force a banana down your throat.
Well, it's cinema.
In my mind, it's Lady and the Tramping. Business. So you've got all these big Hollywood connections, so what the hell, man? You got to tell them about Nothing to Report.
I do.
Once you get Paramount to dump some money into our show.
I do. That's why I'm doing the stuff, so we can dump the
show. That's why we're doing the stuff with the thing there.
Yeah.
in the studio with Team Tiger Awesome, the creators, writers, and co-stars of the new web series Nothing to Report, starring Chris Jericho. It's Clint Gage, Michael Truly, and Nick Mundy, my partner in crime. And after the 3 days of guerrilla warfare-style shooting, we did film the entire series. And all we needed to wrap up some of the bumps and bruises that we got on set were Arctic Ease instant cold wraps. It's do your own stunts, clean up your own fake vomit when you're doing a web series, and you better take care of yourself. There's no technician, medical technician, there's no paramedic, but there was Arctic Ease instant cold wraps, and they were amazing because they provided instant cold therapy to all of our injuries, aches, and pains while we were still active. You see Moses and Chance chasing the crackhead down the street? That's what we used to get better afterwards. You see Moses and Chance, when they're doing a shootout, shooting criminals, running out of the house, we needed to use Arctic Ease instant cold wrap. And when Hawk and Broadway rib me and lock me in the car with ranchero music, which drives Chance Blackstreet nuts and he has to smash the window and jump out of the car, I used Arctic Ease instant cold wraps to feel better because they are cookie yo. You keep your joints and muscles wrapped and cool. Arctic Ease wraps stay in place while giving you similar recovery benefits to ice therapy. And the surprising thing about Arctic Ease wraps, no freezer necessario. The wraps are sleek and comfy with no bulky ice, and they don't show under your clothes. So if you're a gym rat or a runner or an actor in a highly successful, super hilarious web series, you're going to need Arctic Ease instant cold wraps to keep yourself from being sidelined. They're reusable, they're clinically tested, and they're proven effective. All right, just put Arctic Ease on and get the targeted instant cold and compression therapy where you need it before, during, and after exercicio. Don't put your training or your acting or your stunt work on ice. Get reusable Arctic Ease cold wraps at CVS Pharmacy or visit ArcticEase.com and get instant cooling relief where and when you need it. I'm sitting here with Team Tiger Awesome, Mundy, Truly, and Gage. They are the creators of my new Comedy Central web series, Nothing to Report. And while they're getting some clips from the series ready to play for you, and think about answers to why Mundy's best friend, The Rock, wasn't in the series, Nick Mundy's BFF, The Rock, wasn't allowed to be in Nothing to Report because he probably wasn't asked and probably would have passed anyways, but he's going to regret it because it's the funniest show on the web right now. While we're waiting to find out all these answers, I'm going to tell you about TrueCar and why you should download the TrueCar app immediately. You should download it now so you don't waste valuable weekend time going from dealership to dealership in search of the perfect car for you. Why waste hours searching when you can check out the TrueCar and TrueCar mobile app and in 5 minutes, not only build the car you actually want, but also find out what others paid for it. And then with TrueCar, you can lock in guaranteed savings, usually over $3,000 off MSRP. Wow, that's a lot of cashola. We have so many other ways to spend the weekends. Families, friends, concerts, spring snowboarding, watching Nothing to Report. Whatever it is you like to do, don't give it up to hunt for a car. Let TrueCar and the TrueCar mobile app do the hard work for you. It's that easy. And I know how much we all need our cars. It's freedom. How are you going to get to work or school? How are you going to get to the bar to try and get some hibbity-dibbity? How are you going to pick up the kids, all right, from school? How are you going to take them to soccer practice? You got to have good, reliable transportation to take care of business. You just don't have to spend hours and hours to find it. TrueCar is making it easy, man. I'm telling you about this. You got to give it a try. Get your weekends back. Get the car you want without overpaying. Save time. Save money. Save us, Y2J, and never ever overpay. Download the TrueCar app and do it today.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Well, I guess I didn't get them all.
Yeah. Certainly seems like it.
Well, that's why you're here to cross the T's, dot the... and dot the I's.
You done?
Done with what?
I mean, one guy, that's understandable. But two guys? Come on!
three guys? Come on, Chance!
There's a lot of guys in there. Give me a break.
Maybe if you took 2 seconds to double-check your work, I wouldn't have to always clean up your mess.
Oh, well, maybe if you did something instead of sit in the car and hide like a coward, I wouldn't have to.
I was calling for backup. God forbid, we follow procedure just once.
Procedure is like rules, and Chance Blackstreet doesn't follow the rules, man.
I know, Chance. Everyone knows. But I don't even think you're trying to be a rebel. I think you're just too dumb to know what the rules are. You're too dumb to even kill all the bad guys. Look at all the bad guys you're making
okay,
me kill.
Okay, now you're just being hurtful, Moses.
So let's talk about Nothing to Report now that we have Rock's best buddy over here. Why don't you get The Rock to be in your little show,
season
Monday?
Season 2.
Yeah, season 2, really? You're going to have The Rock kill Chance Blackstreet?
No. I was thinking he could be just like...
Captain Sanchez, right?
Paul Stanley was going to be the chief.
Yeah, Paul Stanley was going to be the chief.
You got to get Carl Weathers.
Carl Weathers?
Yeah.
With a hand or without a hand?
Without.
Yeah, that's even better. Keep the continuity going.
No, I think The Rock could be like a prostitute that we pick up on the street.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I think
kind of like when Alex Lifeson was in Trailer Park Boys as a transvestite.
Yeah, I think we get him.
I could work.
I think we
just
get him in drag.
Make him look real bad.
Yeah.
We'll write season 2 here. On Talk is Jericho.
Now, live.
Yeah.
Live script writing in season 2. So let's talk about Nothing to Report. I mean, it's 6 episodes, and it's really, really funny. And I'm not just saying that. It's one of those things when I read it, like, wow.
You were surprised. You called us up. We had a call about it, and you were like, guys, this is really funny.
Well, because you don't know how many meetings.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure you've had meetings, too. And especially with, I got Tony Randall, I got Truly, and then I got you.
Yeah.
So automatically, I'm like, well, how serious can this
something
be?
Something weird.
How real can this be? But reading it back, like, I always have a tendency being, like, a creative guy. Like, oh, I'm just going to go through this. I'm just going to write what I want and rewrite it. But, as soon as I started reading it, I was like, this is really, really good stuff. You guys wrote some pretty funny episodes, and basically we filmed it all within 2 days in your front
yard. Yeah, 2 days and change at my place, pretty much.
3 days.
Three night shoots.
But it's basically guerrilla filmmaking, man. We're in there.
It was nuts.
My neighbors
were all pissed. It was great.
But we had the what Comedy Central did. They produced it. They provided this great crew for us.
Yes.
There was like 50 people.
Yeah.
Like they had like – we only had interns just flanking us everywhere we went.
Yeah.
Looking like big shots.
There had nothing to do.
There was a handful of times I looked down and I was holding coffee. And I was like, what?
This kid here.
What the hell happened?
I love how you said that the attendants were flanking us, because all there was just Clint's front yard and then across the street. So it was basically 3 feet this way, 4 feet this way.
Hey, I always had water and like a script handy. It was like I just wish I had that every day. Like – they were like we had a great crew. I mean, that was like a part of the reason why.
But the funny thing is like we filmed at night, and this really freaked me out. Now, did you have to get some kind of a permit to film on your street?
Yeah, we were properly permitted.
Okay, so was there a permit to just walk into people's houses?
No, that was a separate permit.
Permit. Because we did call that guy.
Yeah,
my first day on set was with Jordan Black, who's an amazing performer from The Groundlings, who I knew for years. And he basically, Mundy and I were doing a stakeout, and we hear some screams. And we assume that we see a guy lurking outside of the house. He's a black guy, so we assume that he's breaking in. I do, and Mundy says he's probably a record producer. I'm like, who's kind of a record producer who breaks into his own house?
We have a clip.
Producer.
Come on.
Are you really going to shoot an African-American registered firearm owner protecting his own home? Okay, he's a patriot.
You know what I think?
Enlighten me, please.
I think you're worried that you're a racist, and if you arrest a black man, it's going to prove it.
Okay, I'm racist, sure. Would a racist donate to every single black Kickstarter out there? I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Let me guess. That's his wife, and he's come home early to surprise her. Is that what it is?
Or they're engaging in some sexual roleplay. I mean, one time my wife had me hide in the bushes and surprise her on her jogging route. And then I surprised her. I surprised her again. And then she surprised me.
Really? That's pretty hot, man.
Yeah, been a lot tamer since then.
It ends up where I'm convinced that this guy's breaking in. Money's convinced that he's just in some weird sex fetish with his wife. And here's Jordan actually in the house.
Yeah. Well, it worked out great because that was an empty house at the time.
Like, so nobody lived there?
Nobody lived there. Yeah.
So how did we get the key?
The guy had just fixed it up and he was waiting to rent it or something like that. So we just called him up and got
he was a big
permission.
Chris Jericho fan. We're like, hey, we got Chris Jericho. Yeah. It's like, here are the keys. I don't even want to know.
You know the funniest thing about that episode to me, though, is my actual real-life neighbor is a black guy record producer.
Wow.
In real life. Yeah, he's the one who yelled at us for because somebody left like a bottle of water or something in his yard overnight or something like that.
It's probably
he was pissed. No, but he was the guy who the ambulance came and picked him up in the middle of the night one night, which was like, what?
Well, here's another thing. Like, you know, I'm not saying you live in a shady part of town, but that whole 3 days, there are sirens, there was choppers flying over.
Yeah.
Studio
and then
City.
Suddenly...
Sherman Oaks is tough.
The mean streets of Sherman Oaks, yo. A big ambulance or fire truck or something pulls up in front of the house next
to
yours.
Yeah, they stop right in the middle of our set.
And we have to stop filming because somebody's having a heart attack?
I'm not sure what it was.
Somebody was having some kind of ailment in the house.
An episode.
And we had to wait for like, you know, an hour and a half.
It was a while.
And listen, we're all compassionate guys. We're like, can we get this guy freaking out of here already and get him?
I wanted to up the production value and steal their uniform and do
just
a spinoff.
Just leave the cameras rolling.
Yeah, just run, some,
do a spinoff. Didn't we already talk about a spinoff? Oh, no, we talked about season two.
Season two,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so okay. But then, the production was halted, and then there was another time when the production was halted because we thought the sprinklers were going to go off, which would have ruined the cameras. but we were yelling at people to get out of their driveways.
Yeah.
We got a lot of crowd.
Like, are you allowed to do that in Los Angeles?
Yes and no. It's you have to be cool about it from what I understand, but the guys the neighbors on the other side, they literally sat in their cars and were like waiting on them to we started rolling and then they pulled up and then they just sat in their cars. So we're kind of like waiting while the cameras are rolling for them to like move. And finally, they're not going to move. And it's like, all right, whatever. They're just going to sit in there for a while. Let's just go ahead and roll. And then as soon as we started action, they get out of the car and slowly start unloading groceries out of their trunk.
Like item by item.
And we're like, like really unnecessary. Nobody unloads groceries like this. Right. It was just like pulling out one thing of bananas. And then like, I'm moving my yogurt. And then
I'm going inside.
Yeah.
Back out.
So like, I remember our producer was like running over there, like helping them unload the groceries for like while we were still rolling, and it was just.
Okay, but that's, you know, if I was at my house, I'm like, I'm gonna sit in my damn driveway as long as I want.
Yeah,
to.
Which is their right.
But when you move to LA, there must be some other rule that the films are being made.
Yeah,
you got to get out of the way.
Well, a lot of people will sit there and they'll wait long enough, and then they'll ask for a job. They'll be like, well, it's on camera now. Don't I get a bump being an extra in the background?
I'm grocery
like,
guy.
Yeah. I'm grocery guy. Yeah, you're looking at credits. It's grocery guy number one, grocery guy number two. That's got to be worth $50, right?
Also, the thing was, we weren't like a run-and-gun shoot. We had like 1K shooting. We were shooting at night, so we had like some powerful lights.
No,
like,
it was a problem.
You could see it down the block. I mean, they were like just – we didn't have – I mean, we
also had warnings. We left notes on all of our neighbors'
like
doors
flyers?
For like 2 weeks ahead. For 2 weeks ahead of time, like giving them a heads up that we were going to be filming.
Yeah, they get a letter. Yeah,
but I just love the attitude of LA. It's like, oh, they're filming. Okay, guys, let's be cool.
Yeah, they're
like,
part of the deal.
You try and do that like in Detroit, they're going to say, you know, go fuck off. I'm going to sit here and do what I want. You know what I mean?
So we can film at your house for season two, right?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
fuck off. I'm going to sit here and do what I want. But I mean, then we're talking about the cast. Great cast. Jordan Black was last. You guys had a lot of comedians. Comedian friends that you brought in.
Yeah, Andre Vermeulen, which
is not how you say
it. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Andre.
She's going to be on TBS show. Like, Echo Kellum was great.
Echo was truly his partner.
Yeah.
Because this is the other thing. You got
Broadway. Blackstreet.
Chance and Moses, who are kind of like the dysfunctional team. And then you had Truly and his partner. What were your guys' names?
Hawk and Broadway,
who were like... Were you kind of the bizarro version of us, or were you better friends?
I think that was the idea.
What's the opposite of me? A tall, handsome African American.
Yeah, exactly. And so you guys are kind of like, well, you're the bully, and you guys are messing with us. And then we find out that Moses and Broadway are having dinner parties, and they're going bowling, and I'm on the outside looking in. You're on the outside looking in, and we're trying to outdo each other with pranks. So we had all that element going on. Great casting there, but there was a little bit of a brouhaha. Which is a good word. Ooh. That should be a web series. When we were trying to find out who was going to be the original plan, was the washed up celebrity was going to piss on our car.
That was,
but when we went through a lineage of guys to try and get somebody.
We went through a handful of different options for there's an episode where a celebrity shows up and literally pisses on the car that you guys are in a stakeout
right.
in. And so he's just drunk off his ass.
Because all celebrities are bad.
Because all celebrities are terrible people. And the first draft of the script, we just as a placeholder, we were writing it as Tom Hanks. And we were like, this would be just so great if Tom Hanks showed up to do it. Just give him a call.
He was busy.
Yeah,
just tweet him.
He said no.
Did he actually say no?
No.
I would imagine somebody would have said no on his behalf.
Had we had a way to contact him?
Had we gone
we
down that road?
Imagine he would have said no.
Yeah, it would have been.
His office is in Santa Monica. Let's just drive in. We can record on the way there.
Still CGI him in there. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
But from the first draft, from those lofty hopes, we kept going a little farther down
the food
chain. Like, and by the time celebrities,
by the time Urkel. We got. Yeah, by the time we got to like Dustin Diamond, we're like, okay, let's just make up a celebrity.
But let's talk about some of the celebrities. We went to Jaleel White.
Jaleel White was one of the options.
Arsenio passed.
Too good for us.
Are we actually getting passes from these guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
And insulting passes.
Like, well, because Comedy Central knows all these people. You know?
Sure.
Like, I mean, there's a talent relations guy.
The Comedy Central name is like the brand right now. Like Comedy Central.
Oh, they're doing great stuff. They're doing great stuff.
So I mean, just the fact that we're running, because I did, but I'm Chris Jericho, which is now. Won 14 awards worldwide in Germany and France, and people are watching, which is cool. But just by saying Comedy Central, suddenly we're like, you know, how are you? It's the funniest thing ever.
Well, if it was like, look,
that is the funniest
with little cigars.
How are you? Where are you?
1940s.
Like, a lot of people who should make fun of themselves don't.
Well, yeah,
and then like Montel Jordan didn't want to.
So so Montel Jordan, is that the guy, the bald guy?
No, that
Montel
was
Williams.
Montel Williams.
Who's
I think
Montel
we went
Jordan?
To,
Montel Jordan is a singer. We went to Montel Williams.
Did we call Montel Williams? We should have went to Montel Jordan.
We should have. He might have done the song you sing at karaoke. Jordan.
Yeah, this is how we do it.
Yeah,
okay,
we should have got
cool. Yeah. That's the song you sing karaoke. Duh. So what did Arsenio? What was his past?
Oh, they were all just. I mean, you know, we heard them all through our guy at Comedy Central, and they were all like, "Yeah, he's not into it." Or
Corey Feldman was busy.
We just got a straight up pass. We just got a straight up no. It was a one word
pass.
Because it is not a flattering role, and you really have to be able.
Because this guy's a drunken celebrity,
he's drunk
who pees on our car,
tries to fillet his way out of trouble.
He pukes on my shoe. Yeah.
He's sexually up for whatever.
Right.
You know, it's not a flattering role.
He wants to be Mundy's special boy.
So what we did was we're like, screw it. Let's just get the funniest guy we can to play like a kid show host.
When Jaleel White and Dustin Diamond are passing, you can't get much lower than that.
It was like 2 or 3 days before the shoot, and we're like, you know what? We're just going to just make up a guy.
Just rewrite.
So, it's not worth it if you do it. Like, the point is, you need – anyway.
Yeah.
So it ended up working out better because we got Brian Stack to play Captain Education.
His name can't possibly be Education.
His
name is Education.
A kid show host. And Brian Stack is he just left the Conan show. He's going to start in the Colbert show coming up.
As a performer, as a writer?
Both. And he's done so many different sketches for 18 years on Conan. That's how I met him. I do a bunch of stuff on Conan. And he's just the funniest, nicest guy.
I agree.
Yeah, and he was fantastic, and it's one of my favorite episodes.
He showed up at 1 a.m. and was like, so, drop the pants, like, immediately, or do I need to, like pause for a beat? I'm like, no, immediately would be perfect.
Do we have a clip from that?
Oh, yeah, we have a clip.
We have a clip for that.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, we don't, because we have your Van Hagar thing that you were obsessed with.
Maybe we can get a clip for it.
If we're doing this in post,
can we get a clip for it?
Yeah, I'll get a clip.
Monday, you sit around your house all day doing nothing but watching Kiss in Houston.
That's half true.
That is true.
Seriously? Typical Hollywood celebrity does whatever he wants. Puke on my shoe? No problem. Make a mistake? It's okay. Live your life with no responsibilities, right, Captain? You are an idol to children, for God's sakes.
That's true. My kids really look up to him. He's their hero. I'm not, but they love him.
But doesn't that piss you off? You spent your whole life trying to be a good cop, and this Hollywood fly-by-night can do whatever he wants. He's worshipped like a god. I mean, you're getting shot at, and he's taking my wife out to dinner and doing the hibbity-dibbity.
Okay, I feel like I need to make sure you know Captain Ed isn't the weatherman your wife left you for.
Ex-wife, and yes, I know. I'm
give
not some kind
me
of...
Give that, dick. I'm gonna make you feel like a special boy.
Wow, it's been a while since anyone made me feel special, but I'm gonna have to decline. I'm married.
I got a gun in here somewhere.
No way does he have a gun.
And I'm pretty sure it's There it is.
He's I was wrong.
So the best part of all is you see it in post because he basically is the drunken kid show host and he's having sex with our car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As we're sitting in it and then he pees on the car and when you're doing it it's fun. Right. But when you watch it back, like the car is just rocking. Like he is just pounding this car. Like I guess he's putting his unit in the radiator.
Yeah. I don't know what he's banging.
I don't know.
He's going to town.
And then there's this squirt bottle of pee that's all over and the puke and everywhere. Like and it sounds like a lot of bodily functions to you people watching at home or listening at home, but it's really, really funny.
Yeah, that was honestly one of my favorite sequences of sound design in the whole – because when we were cutting all the sound, our sound guy put some amazing – like the pee hitting the windshield sound effect that he used was so perfect. Yeah. And then there was like another sound effect.
Is that some kind of database, pee hitting windshield?
No, I don't know where he gets
it. Well, Barry. You know Barry. You guys talked about Rush for like an hour.
That's right. Yeah, of course he likes Rush. He's an audio guy.
He loves Rush.
He plays bass.
But there's this other great sound that actually was our editor, Brad Conlon, who he did it himself. He put his hand on his window and like slid it down to get that like for him sliding off the hood of the car.
Right.
And it makes it like 300 times funnier. Yeah. And it's just that episode more than the others, the little sound tweaks that we did on that.
What episode is that called?
That's Captain Ed.
Captain Ed. That was a great episode.
It's the second one that will.
Yeah.
They all come out at the same time, and then but they're featuring over.
Another one of my favorites was the crackhead in the back seat.
Yeah.
That what was that episode? That was run.
That's the first one.
Moses is fat.
Yeah.
Moses is fat.
Right off the bat.
And this is why we're chasing a perpetrator, and you can't keep up because you're out of breath, and I accuse you of being overweight, and then as we're fighting, we actually do catch the crackhead and put him in the back seat, who joins in on the argument and takes sides on both of us.
And we have a clip right now.
And we have a clip right now?
Yeah. Got that one ready.
I don't believe you anymore. I think you're just saying that.
Let's go to the clip.
Moses, I got to tell you this, all right? You need to lose weight.
Okay, I may have gained a few extra pounds, but I still get the job done.
Wait, you literally just didn't get the job done because you are fat.
Hey, you were high on meth. He was high on meth, so he was probably running faster.
That's not how it works.
I believe that is how it works. I read
meth all the time, and that's not how it works.
Okay, well, what if you did have a gun? What if you had a gun?
I didn't have a gun.
But hypothetically, what if you had a gun?
Well, hypothetically, anything could have happened.
I could have had a chainsaw.
You didn't even have a gun.
Well, chainsaw's pretty easy to get. I was just in a shed.
Ah, forget about the chainsaw. That's not believable enough.
But that was a lot of dialogue, and this was, like we said, guerrilla shooting. We were learning dialogue basically, 10 minutes before we were shooting.
And we shot 48 something pages in three nights?
Yeah.
And that's what I got to give you
a ton.
Legitimate compliment. I mean, you came in probably doing like a concert and a tour and, a WWE show and then flew in that morning.
Yeah.
I picked you up and then you were ready to go. And I was like, and then the next day you had Raw and you still like interviewed Lemmy that weekend.
That's right.
And I was like, and you came in ready to go. You had notes and you were just like a pro. I mean, you were outstanding. You brought so much great stuff to it. I mean, most of the time you spent on the Van Hagar bit, but you spent a lot of time.
That was my big writing contribution.
Yeah. It was like, hey guys, I got this Van Hagar thing. I really like the joke, but I'm going to make it better. And just give me a couple days. And then come back to it, and then there's just like five pages of...
This is a really long list of Van Hagar's.
Just a stream of consciousness. Yeah, let me just go through every album that I have. Let's run the clip now.
You're such an idiot, man. I mean, Van Hagar had just as many hits as the original Van Halen, okay? 5150, Best of Both Worlds, When It's Love, Dreams, Summer Nights, Finish What You Started, Black and Blue, Right Now.
Right Now? Really? You're going to come at me with Right Now?
What are you talking about? Right Now was the theme of an entire generation.
It was a Pepsi jingle, you mental case.
You not listened to the poetry, the genius of Sammy Hagar's lyrics talking about living for the day, taking advantage of what you have right now. Don't wait till tomorrow with Teresa.
Teresa? Did you just say Teresa?
No.
Holy shit.
I didn't.
You just put your ex-wife into a Van Hagar.
I did not.
Oh my God.
I did not. No, I didn't.
Hey guys, you gotta come
no,
here.
I didn't. No, I didn't. No, don't tell the guys over. Tell the guys to mind their own business. You mind your own business, Hawk. You leave Sammy Hagar. You stop it. You stop it right now. You stop it. Die in a car fire, you jackass. Stop.
So,
something bugging you?
But basically, the reason for that, though, is because that's what we do in WWE. Sometimes you get a script very loosely 10 minutes or 5 minutes before you got to go on the air. If Vince doesn't like it, he'll rewrite everything. So you got to nail it. You got to be there because there's one take on this live. And that's one thing we were laughing about. You mentioned it earlier. There were times where you would get so stressed out, so excited, and you start second-guessing yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd be like, hey, Chance, wait a minute. Oh, I can do it again. Hey, Chance, let's do this. Oh.
That's my process.
Yeah. Hey, Chance, let's do it again. Oh, and I'd be like sitting there going, this guy's a hack.
I can see that. I can see that. I'm sitting there behind the monitors going like, oh, man, Jericho thinks he's a hack.
This is such a...
I was really good at this.
You were amazing at it. Trust me. You were hilarious. But
was our editor.
It was... the editor was amazing. But it was such a free-form, improv-friendly set. There's no wrong way of doing it.
Yeah. Well,
you know? And that was the other good thing about it. I mean, you're shooting 48, 50 pages in you know, essentially three, like, eight-hour days, whatever it was. Like, you have to be cool with that.
Right.
Like, if something's funny, that's the thing, like, cutting our teeth in sketch comedy too, it's like, you know, you learn real quick that whatever's funniest wins.
Yeah.
Like, you
yeah.
can't have any kind of ego. And if somebody's going down a path that's really funny, like, just keep going.
The three of us couldn't be more different as people who write together. I mean, look the way we're dressed. You know, he's wearing Truly's wearing a sports coat
and a baseball hat.
Yeah. Well, you look like substitute teacher. that's
and you look goal. Like some just like I just student look, just got out of bed.
Tommy Bahama. Like, I just went to shopping at Tommy Bahama's.
Yeah. You've even got flip flops.
I know. And then Clint actually looks does
like,
look like
I
Johnny
look pretty
Randall.
Regular. Yeah.
You got a John Cusack thing going for you. That's what I said. I wish you would have been in Hot Tub Time Machine.
Right. I know, right?
Miserable.
Cusack. Doesn't want to be here. Is that? That's the bit of it.
No, and then but like the thing is we have a lot of different. We probably have more differences than similarities, but like the funniest thing always wins, and that's how we've worked together for almost 10 years now.
Crazy.
And then so when you came in, you had jokes, and you were like, "Okay, cool, let's do it." And then stuff like. That maybe didn't work for a specific reason. You were like, "Okay, cool, let's keep going."
It's always for the best of the product.
Right. Right. Yeah,
like we
yeah.
said, doesn't matter who wrote it or who gets the line. Let's just make it good. The other episode that stands out for me was, and I'm so bad with the names. We ended up in our underwear.
Emotional scars.
What a hilarious episode that is! And I posted a picture on Instagram with the both of us standing there in underwear. Actually, we saw your underwear in the education episode too.
Yeah, I know. It was a real good week. No, but that was actually where the whole idea came from, was in that episode, because there's always those scenes in movies, especially like it's crystallized in Lethal Weapon 3 with Rene Russo and Mel Gibson, where they're like doing that sexually charged scene where they're showing each other their scars and knife cuts.
Sure,
and stuff.
Right.
I'm broken more than you are.
Yeah, and then what we did the emotional version of that.
Yeah.
Where we're like ripping off our clothes.
My father left me when I was two. Yeah. Whatever it was.
I'm a sexual illiterate. That'll be a hashtag. You got to get sexual literacy hashtag.
The one line that got cut is when you said I pee standing up, and I said I poo standing up. That ended up on the cutter room floor.
Look, it was either that or the Van Hagar thing, man. I just thought that
Van Hagar stays.
There's so much horse trading goes on behind the scenes. I have no idea.
That whole thing about like us working together was just horse shit. It was what Clint liked.
Yeah. How was it editing? Because I know, for example, when I had David Keck on the show, he was saying that when they did Anchorman and Anchorman 2, there's so many, like, Ferrell throws out a different line every time, and he said it's an editor's dream and editor's nightmare to pick the funniest one. Did you have some issues like that?
It can be a pain in the ass sometimes. Like, it's
Brad is good, though.
Brad, yeah, our editor was great. It did Brad.
Were you sitting in on the editing? Because I'm saying Clint was the director of the show, which is also why I consider you to be kind of the boss of the team.
Sure.
We'll allow it.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Voice of reason.
But no, the editing process was actually really great. There's only a handful of spots that we really were kind of backed into a corner by not having, you know, the same thing on different, you know, from a different angle or something like that. And a lot of that was the timing issue of it too. Like, there's one episode that I won't say which one, because I don't want anybody to go looking for it. But there's one episode that just kills me, because I was like, I just needed two more hours to get like one more angle and one more, you know. So
at the end of it, we were trying to rush through, like,
the schedule was super tight, but ultimately it's all there, you know. It's there's nothing. And Comedy Central had good notes too, you know. I mean, some of their notes were, you know, even the notes that we didn't agree with, they like made us look at a scene and
they
kind
were
of
pretty
a different
good as
way.
A network too, though. I mean, they pretty much let us run free.
Yeah.
With
they're very
most
creator
of the
friendly.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Their big thing was just making sure it was grounded, and it was a really good note because it was going to get big, and some of the like the characters had to be real, and that was the one thing that like we just couldn't be like silly boys.
Right.
Even though Chris Jericho and the Silly Boys was our name that we called ourselves.
Chris Jericho and the Silly Boys.
Yeah.
Special Boys.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why it works, though, because there is a lot of straight. There's a lot of over the top. You're sitting there in your underwear, instant laugh, guy banging a car, funny. I love the scene where Hawk and Broadway are ribbing us, and they lock the doors of the car, and they turn on the mariachi music.
Yeah.
And that makes me freak out to where I smash the window and roll out on the – and it's funny, too, because you get the stunt man who's telling you how to do everything. He's like, dude, I do this for a living. I've been thrown through a plate glass window. This is nothing.
Yeah, but I love the night where he was like trying to coach you and he's like, okay, so you'll tackle this guy onto this like super soft crash pad. And you're like, yeah, it's fine. I got it.
It's Jordan Black. We gotta go. Seven pounds.
Yeah.
We'll be
all right. It'll be fun.
There was also like, but I remember you coming after you punched through the glass window. You were like, it's pretty good glass. It was pretty good glass. Like
it's
good
glass. For sugar glass, it worked good.
Yeah, no, I've had worse glass. Yeah, I've had worse glass.
I had a thing with CM Punk once where I was going to hit him with a whiskey bottle, and of course they said don't swing it too hard from here. So I grab it like by the hand like this, and as I swing to hit him with it, it breaks midair about half a second before it catches him. Now of course there's wrestling nerds all around. You can see if you go in fast slow motion that it breaks here, not on impact. I'm like,
get these
people,
wrestling nerds. I know. Tear the show apart as long as you share it and tweet it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
exactly.
Make memes about it that I don't
And we
understand.
Love wrestling nerds, by the way.
Oh, yeah, big time.
We have one sitting in here right now.
I am a wrestling nerd. You got true.
Actually, you kind of got me into wrestling.
You got truly into wrestling. Truly yeah. You got us tickets to SummerSlam.
Oh, I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a high dollar ticket there.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Yeah,
and then
awesome.
We had a great time. And we were upset that everyone's mean to Cena.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, we like, love Cena, though. That's the way
he goes. Love, especially, like, we found out last night, or on the taping, he likes Skinner, so he just became one.
So
what does Comedy Central – the Simple Man – call back. What does Comedy Central think about the show? Like I said, we were on a conference call, and I know they probably have – I don't know how many web series they have. Maybe it's 2, maybe it's 10. But they're trying to do their best.
Oh, yeah,
but it's not over the top. Like, this is the focus.
They love it. They love it. They've never done anything like this with, like, cop shows. This is a new thing for them, and they I mean, you talk to them the most, but they love Chris. They like me.
They love they tolerated Nick. Love Chris, but no, they've been great the whole process. I mean, they've been really behind
kind
it.
Of our point man, and Jordy was
Jordy's
there,
a talent guy. He was
us
always
great
there,
feedback and stuff.
They've been behind it the whole time, you know, and they've been really great about all of it, and especially because like the. This idea came from our sort of shared love of buddy cop movies, like even the really bad ones, like are ones that you love.
Careful,
and so
because what's great?
Well, I know, but the thing is, it's like we all love Tango and Cash, but we love it for three separate reasons.
Why do you love it?
I love it because it's so bad.
Yeah,
it's
and
just
this is
terrible.
Stallone and Russell.
Stallone and Kurt Russell. Yeah.
Why do you love it?
I love it because they go and they get that huge monster truck for no real reason. They just decide, hey, this is going to be a spy movie all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And why do you love it?
It's shower butts.
It's
Nick loves
cinema.
It for the shower butts.
Cinema verite.
And it's also it's the best homoerotic. It's the best homosexual based buddy cop show.
It's a great romantic comedy.
Yeah,
because there's always that sexual tension between the buddies, right?
Well, and there's a scene in the shower where they're just like looking at each other's dicks for like. For like 8 minutes.
Season two, where we're just looking at each other.
That would be a comparing dick.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
No, where we're literally measuring.
And then Broad Street and Hawk come in, and they're both like just impressive. Which I'm sure is probably close
but
to
anyway,
the truth.
Having a shared love of the buddy cop movies and Comedy Central, just they weren't. They didn't share the same love that we have, but they trusted us enough to like, so we could say like, honestly, like, this is how we need to do it.
Right.
And they were cool about letting us go and do it. And they've been really happy with the finished product. So
yeah, they were.
So
it's one of their larger web series.
As far as budget,
I mean, they put in a lot of resources into it. I mean, we got squibs in it. We got.
We did. There's a gun, scene where you keep blowing away the criminals.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious as well.
It's just, and they put in a lot of resources and they gave us a lot. They gave us the opportunity and we were internally grateful for it. I mean, it was one of those.
Internally grateful?
We didn't tell them.
And internally.
We were internally grateful. They won't be listening to this either. So it's still in.
Jordy, we love you. You're a genius, man.
But I think one of the things that like really helped out is, and this came on. We didn't have a lot of notice. We had a rehearsal day that got cut because I think you were doing everything.
Yeah. It was there was supposed to be a table read and I couldn't make it.
I think you were doing a hot air balloon race or whatever you do during the weekend.
Dude, you know what's so funny? And Stacey's laughing. We just had. We just had Josh McDermott from Walking Dead come in here.
Oh, yeah.
Who is a qualified hot air balloon pilot, and we discussed hot air balloons.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Here you go, Landon. Yeah. Were you eavesdropping?
No.
Did you put a bug on me somewhere, you crazy fan?
He's yes. lip reading.
This has been one elaborate ruse just so we can hang out, because I'm that big of a wrestling fan. Look, yeah. I'll become friends with these guys for 15 years. Yes. I saw you in WCW in 1996. I was like, that looks like a neat guy.
There is no web series, Chris.
There's what? No film in these cameras.
You just got catfish, son.
So, I mean, this has a chance. Do you think I mean, speaking as four dudes, I had a great time working with you guys. Very talented, very fun. Monday was not bad. What do you guys think there's a chance for us to do more of this? Does it depend on the ratings and
yeah,
how many
I think
ratings, how many downloads they get?
The more people watch it, the more buzz we get. The more we'll do.
Because they've signed series before off of web series, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've treat this as a pilot.
It's a pilot.
It's essentially a pilot.
Yeah, it's a facto pilot, right?
Yeah. So
and for a long time, the digital side is Comedy Central and the TV side didn't really work together that well. But over the past
now
couple
the
of years,
thing.
they all work together. And that's why, you know, they can pick up a web series and then do a TV show about it now because they're all on the same team now, which is really, really cool. And it's a really good opportunity for us, you know.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you want to see Nothing to Report as a TV show with Paul Stanley playing Captain Sanchez.
Wow.
Carl Weathers.
Maybe we can be twins.
Co-captains.
Co-captains.
No.
Oh, great. You're going to get Dwayne?
We'll try
your
to
buddy
Dwayne.
Nick's bestie, Dwayne.
I have never once in my life called him Dwayne. And I've got this guy, I call him Rocky or Rock. You're calling him Dwayne. You must really
I
be in.
I call him Sir.
Good graces.
No, if you call him DJ, I think you're in. That's when.
No, you want to know the name to call him? Dewey.
Dewey.
You serious?
That's what his old man calls him. I don't think he likes it.
Love
next
it.
Time you see
don't
him, call
dare.
Him Dewey.
Yeah, he just, hey, Dewey, what's up? And then he punches me in the face.
And then you get thrown
local
through
man,
a wall.
Yeah, local man get killed by The Rock.
Right, Paramount.
Cheers.
Paramount stops returning your calls for junkets. Exactly.
But I think the one thing that was great was you do the same jokes and bits we do. And
absolutely.
That's what built the chemistry, I think. Like, I think we have really good chemistry.
Yeah, it was like having a fourth member for like 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, I
very strong.
Same sense of humor because there's not a lot of guys. We've been talking about Police Academy to Paul Stanley. As the chief, we're like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Honestly, I didn't even want to talk about Nothing to Report. I just wanted to bullshit.
Yeah. Well, over like Christmas, the four of us, during Christmas Day, we were talking about that Paul Stanley Folgers commercial.
Amazing.
Nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about it nonstop.
And the best is that people were saying how like weird it was. I thought it was genius.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best thing in the world.
First, go watch Nothing to Report on ComedyCentral.com. Then go watch the Paul Stanley's Folgers commercial. It is the greatest piece of cinema I've ever
seen.
Yeah,
no, it's just...
It's amazing.
I'm getting married soon, and I just want him to walk down the beach and then disappear at the end
of it. Yeah, but he just magically disappears.
He's like a circus. He's like a bull rider in that thing.
He's a circus. Like he's like the tent master, the circle master. What
he's
is it called?
Ring
the ring master.
Yeah.
Although the circle master is not bad.
Circle master.
Circle master.
Circle.
Let's make Paul Stanley a circle master.
No,
that's who will be in season two. He'll be the circle master, who's like a villain.
I've stolen the train again.
We'll make it.
Be a
yeah.
Supervillain.
He's a super villain.
And the crackhead who escaped will now be his evil minion.
Exactly.
We'll bring back Education as well. We didn't kill him off. We don't know. Actually, we don't know if Education made it or not.
Did
he live?
I have killed.
He just stopped breathing. But, you know, that's a spoiler.
He stopped breathing. We just drove away.
We drove across.
Oh, and just left him there.
That was a tough one. We had to fight for that.
I had to fight for that. Because at the end of that episode, you guys back up out of frame. And
he falls off the hood of the car.
And then you pull up, like, close to frame on the other side of the street, you know, with Education is still on, like... Passed out,
presumably
or whatever.
Dead.
And so that was your big plan. That was like your big getaway. It's like we're going to move to the other side of the street and everything's going to be fine.
Well,
and, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
And they just didn't get it. And I was like, no.
That they didn't understand the hilarity in that.
I'll chip away at the Van Hagar list if I get to keep this car moving.
Well, that was one of those moments where we did that, and I was just like, every kind of shoot you have, and we've done a ton, is like, oh man. This makes everything worth it. Like all the writing, all the rewrites, all the stupid crap we've had to do, all the axe dirt cathlons. like when we're doing that moment of Brian Stack, one of like the funniest comedians, dying in a car, and then me and Chris Jericho are pulling to the other side of the street
and completely
silly
ignoring
joke.
Him.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's like, oh, that's why I do this business.
Well, and those
why
moments...
I do everything. That it's
and I believe that ends off with the Van Hagar.
That starts off with a Van Hagar.
And it ends off with it, too.
You were really going to have to watch the show before we...
I have watched it. I did watch it.
Those moments are so silly that when they work, like, you know you did the rest of your job right. Like, you know that, like, the whole front half of this episode, like, I buy it, and I'm with these characters, and they're real human beings doing this stuff. And then this, if this silly moment lands, then you know you did everything else right, which is part of the reason why I was fighting for it so hard. I'm like, guys, it works.
Was there anything else that you had to fight for that you had to cut?
That was the biggest thing, right?
There was that one. Honestly, it wasn't a whole lot. I'm trying to think. The meth head episode got rearranged a little bit. Moses is fat got rearranged a little bit because of something wasn't reading to their liking.
But they were very open.
And you know, all of my calls with them were very, like, the first one I was taking notes, and so I was kind of being quiet while they were, like, rapid firing their notes. And at some point they were like, I mean, you know, if you agree with these or whatever. I'm like, no, I'm literally just writing down. I'm not, like, sulking.
We've worked with, like, Jordy for years, and he's just a smart guy, and he gets it. And he
was a great help as far as getting the comedy of it. So.
Yeah, no, and then, like, again, it was just about just kind of focusing it, which you need. That's why, like, notes are good.
Of course. Last question. Favorite episode of Nothing to Report and favorite buddy movie?
Moses is Fat was my favorite on the page and also my favorite after we shot it, which I was kind of surprised because usually my favorite on the page turns out to be something different by the time we shoot it. Buddy cop movie? Favorite which? Like a specific buddy as a part of
favorite
a buddy
movie.
Cop? Favorite movie?
Either or. Either
who's your favorite friend?
Who's your favorite? who's your favorite person in the room right now?
Who is it?
I'm trying to think. This is so difficult. I mean, Tango and Cash is just like the touchstone of, like, that was the high watermark for, like, ridiculous bullshit in buddy cop movies. So I got to go with that one.
That's where the buddy cop movie jumped the shark.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one that's like, I can't take anything seriously.
Ever again.
But you guys are doing it right.
Yeah. All right, truly?
I think my favorite is probably the Captain Education one, both on paper and on screen. Though I do like episode 6 quite a bit.
Which is episode 6.
The shootout.
It's a great one, too, yeah.
And then I would probably have to go Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah, now you want it. Oh, yeah.
No, it's just a really good one. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
and then I'm going to go with my favorite on page and on screen is Emotional Scars.
Like, okay.
Where we're watching two grown men fall apart in their underwear.
Crying in their underwear.
Yeah, it's just really bizarre, fun.
Yeah, and the end of that, the reveal, the punchline to that is great too.
Yeah, it's just like that one is kind of like to me the touchstone of the whole series.
Yes.
And so watch it third.
Okay.
And then my favorite, I'm going to go with Lethal Weapon.
Like, okay, the original.
I want to say Bad Boys 2, but I'm going to go with Lethal Weapon.
Why wouldn't you say Bad Boys 2?
Well, because it's like, this show's more Lethal Weapon based.
Yeah.
It's okay if you want to say Bad Boys 2.
It was your favorite. It's not what's most tied to the show.
I'm going to go with Lethal Weapon.
Are you sticking with it? I'm going with Emotional Scars as well.
Okay.
Great reveal.
Now, the shootout, we haven't talked much about the shootout. The shootout is awesome.
Great, too. That's a chance for you where you just lose it.
Yeah, and the shootout, like, is, like, the most action-packed, and you look incredible.
I look badass in that. If you've seen the picture with I got the muscle shirt on and the sunglasses.
Well, you kept,
My house looks badass because it's behind you.
Well, you would tweet one picture, and then within 5 minutes, there'd be 19 different memes.
That's right.
And like, hey, I made you 19 posters. And we're like,
is it Beverly's Cop?
Hey, I put fire behind you.
Yeah.
Hope that's cool. Bye.
Love you. Bye. And my favorite buddy cop movie, Turner and Hooch.
Oh, good one.
A little bit of a twist where who says the buddy has to be human?
No.
Nobody. Buddy can be a dog.
Literally nobody has ever said
that. You're extremely progressive.
Absolutely. And if Tom Hanks is listening, we still would love to have you on the show.
His office is in Santa Monica. I know where it is. Let's keep the podcast going.
Stacey,
hey, can you go car road? Okay, we can go in the car.
Hardwick got him on his podcast by sending him a typewriter.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah,
so maybe we should send him an ear.
A human ear.
No, send him a human ear.
We have your son.
All right, Nothing to Report, ComedyCentral.com. Thank you, Team Tiger. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We have your son.
If you ever
ever want Colin to hear again.
If you ever want to see...
Colin's like 40.
This is Chris Jericho and the Special Boys.
If you ever want to see your son from your previous marriage again.
So are we funny?
All right, day shift's here, dick lickers. So take your beef jerky wrappers and your sad little farts and exit the vehicle. I hope you choke on our sad little farts.
That's not possible, you fucking idiot.
I want to ask you about this thing on Saturday. Am I supposed to bring anything? Or
Just a bottle of wine and your lovely wife. So
I'm just playing.
Ooh, you're having a thing on Saturday?
Yeah, his wife invited Rashida and I over for dinner.
It's not a big deal. It's just a couple's thing. I didn't think you would want to
go.
You invited him to a thing and invited me? He's a jerk.
Guys, it's not a big deal. Take it easy.
Look, if I'm being honest... You make my wife uncomfortable, and I can't invite you to dinner. You make your wife uncomfortable, Moses.
You're right, I'm sorry.
Hey, don't apologize. Stand up for yourself. No, true. He can talk to him like that if he wants to.
Get in the fucking car, Broadway.
All right, I'm sorry.
Farts.
I'll
cut you.
All right, thanks to Team Tiger Awesome, Nick Mundy, Michael Truly, and Clint Gage, the creative geniuses behind my new Comedy Central web series, Nothing to Report. It debuted on Monday. Huge numbers, great reviews. Check it out. Beyond Magazine said it's the funniest Comedy Central web series in the last 2 years, okay? You need to see this. I guarantee it'll make you laugh. If you don't laugh... Mundy will give you your money back, okay? I'm telling you right now. And I guarantee if you don't rock out at a Fozzy gig, I'll give you your money back via Nick Mundy. I'll borrow it from him. You got to come to our upcoming shows. Lots to choose from. April 24th, we're playing 37 Main in Atlanta. Outskirts is called Johns Creek. Get your tickets and VIPs at FozzyRock.com. April 25th, we're rocking it again in Jacksonville. Welcome to Rockville. Tickets and info at FozzyRock.com. Then we're touring with Slash May 18th, Chicago. 21st, Austin. 23rd, House of Blues. 24th in Dallas, Southside Ballroom. We're also doing May 22nd in Beaumont, Texas. That's just a Fozzy show on our own. Get to FozzyRock.com for all information about the gigs, the VIPs. It's the best VIP you're going to get. We rock with you so hard, man. You have the time of your life. And then the time of our life, speaking of which, October 30th, the Kiss Cruise, Miami to Jamaica with Talk is Jericho alumni Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, Steel Panther's going to be there, Lita Ford. So much cool stuff going on. And also April 19th, if you live in Boston, Marlboro, Massachusetts, supermegafest.com. On the Sunday, I will be there. Come check it out, man. I love hanging with you guys. It was great seeing you when I hosted the 10th annual podcast awards with Emily Morse last night. So much fun, huge reception, great time. Thanks to all of you for rocking with me, and thanks to all of you for supporting the great sponsors of TIJ. Wouldn't be able to do this for free twice a week without them and without you. Don't forget MeUndies.com, DDP Yoga, True Car, Arctic-E's Instant Cold Wraps, and of course, Amazon. You can find all my sponsors and my Amazon links at podcast1.com. Just click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page. Appreciate you guys using my Amazon links to do all your online shopping. Easiest way to support the show. Links for Amazon UK, Amazon USA, Amazon Canada. Every time you do that, Amazon kicks back a little cash to the show. So we keep doing this for free for twice a week. No extra fees or hidden charges. You're just getting your shopping done. Help me out in the process. Once again, podcast1.com. Keep our podcast free banner. Hit the Talk is Jericho button. Go to Amazon and just rock, man. Buy whatever you want. And I love having you guys, man. It's always great to be talking to you. We'll be back on Friday. Got a guest that's been getting a lot of requests. Had him in the can for a few months, and now I'm going to unleash him on the world. Great guy. One of my oldest friends in the wrestling business, William Regal, will be here on Friday to tell you all the tales in a way that only William Regal can. You think Kevin Hart is funny? You think Nothing to Report is funny? You ain't seen nothing till you hear William Regal on Talk is Jericho this Friday. We'll see you then. Yeah, boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo!
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to Geico, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Syria Peace Talks? I'm Ben Thomas with an AP News Minute. Syrian rebels have rejected peace talks being proposed by Russia. They're accusing Moscow of failing to pressure its ally, President Bashar Assad, to end the conflict. Christmas may be over, but the shopping isn't. Hazel Ginn was at Macy's Herald Square in New York today.
It's not too bad. Even we went up to the 9th floor and we managed to get in a queue about 4 deep, so not bad. Yeah, and then we went to another one and it was only a couple, so we kind of timed it well, I think.
America's research group, which focuses on consumer behavior, projects holiday sales up about 5% this year. Harley-Davidson is placing a renewed emphasis on teaching people to ride as part of its efforts to attract more customers. The company is expanding the number of dealerships with a Harley Riding Academy. The move comes as the industry grapples with years of declining sales and an aging customer base. I'm Ben Thomas.